Hi. This is obviously not the normal way the show starts, but I wanted to, before the intro music or talking about anything, I want to have a moment of silence for the passing of Nintendo's president, Satoru Iwata. Let's just have a few moments of silence. All right. Thank you for joining me in the silence, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, there will never be anyone quite like you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 222 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for the weekday, not the week, just the day of July 13th, Monday. This is so out of order, 2015. I am your host, Mark Cousinez. And on today's show, I change up the format a little bit. I still I've separated out reviews and previews like that, some serious ones, the more in-depth ones, but as far as the new anime goes, the current season of shows, I just kind of go at them, not getting into too detailed specifics, and yeah, I go through them all in about 20 minutes of what I've watched at the second episode. So enjoy that. It's a lot easier for me to do that and get it done and make sure it's done. And also still do my actual work. And then I also, after all of that, talk about video games. A lot of them. Really quickly as well. So you better, be prepared to consume a lot in a little bit of time. So think of this episode. Well, think of it this way, and you'll get what I'm saying. When you see the review, well, you're not going to see it, you're going to hear it. But the first two parts of this podcast are like the first half of Sword Art Online. And the last two parts, where I talk about all the new season anime and the games I've been playing, that's like the second half. You'll see. You'll figure it out. All right, so let's just get on to it. So I finally finished the first season of Sword Art Online, and there are a lot of things I really like about the show, but there are also a few things that were really bothersome and problematic and really took away from the experience as a whole. And because of them, I think I would, in the seemingly always ongoing fight between Sword Art Online and Log Horizon, because whenever I Google either, the other one also comes up as well, because it just is how it has to be, I guess. But there is so much that Sword Art Online does really, really well. Visually, it's incredibly well animated. It clearly has a very high budget. It really pulls off the more serious storyline very well. It's a much more serious story, an adult story throughout. Dealing with marriage and a whole bunch of stuff. It does dive into comedic elements at times, but it is definitely a more dramatic, almost you can say Shakespearean, somewhat over the top type of story. But what I really don't like about it is that the pacing is god awful. It is some of the worst pacing I've ever seen in an anime. Especially with 25 episodes in the first season, I think, say, the first half, or maybe even a little less, takes place within 2 years. So it just jumps to certain moments, certain days or whatever, and then there is so much that we don't get to see that we're missing out on, and maybe none of that stuff would be important, but it just feels like we start off and we have this whole dilemma of having to clear this dungeon in order to get out of this game world, and you have the weight of death still being a big concern, because if you die in the game, you're going to die in real life, so that still ups the ante. But then there's so much we don't see, and then already, you know, by episode, I don't know, 10 or 12 or somewhere fairly early on, we've already cleared the dungeon and we're out of that world. And I was like, so what the hell is going to happen for the rest of this season? Seems, I was like, while I was watching those first episodes, I was feeling like it was being rushed, but I'm like, well, we'll see what happens. And then we already cleared the dungeon, and I was like, okay, so what's going to happen now? And then the rest of the series takes place over the course of like 2 weeks. And it's just, it's horribly balanced. Because you just have all this time that flies by in the first half, and then it starts to really, really slow down in the last half. And another problem with the last half is that while Nobuyuki is a very menacing and evil nemesis, antagonist, he's also incredibly annoying and disgusting, and in some ways a little too over the top in how creepy he is. I mean, it just is like, okay, come on. He's got to sniff for hair and do this weird tongue thing. I don't know. Every time I see a character, a evil character, do the whole tongue thing, it's just kind of like, what's with you people and this tongue stuff? But that was a bit just somewhat annoying, because one, I thought Akihiko was a very, even though we didn't get too much on him, because we are introduced to him as that the leader of the main guild or whatever, we don't get that much time with him as the antagonist, because they just end up having that battle right there. And then I really thought he was a much more interesting antagonist, in part because he was a bit more reserved and not so outwardly ridiculous, and he does come into play at the end of the season in giving him the seed and helping him get through to helping what's his name, Kazuto, what the hell is his name, Kirito, save Yuki, Asuna, from the evil Nobuyuki, who's just out of his mind, keeping her in a little birdcage. I just thought he was a much more interesting antagonist. And I also found the fact that, I mean, it's kind of annoying to have this whole storyline where you have this person who is crazy, but not so ridiculously so, trap, 10,000 people in this game world and force them to beat it in order to escape, to end the game, and then it's immediately followed by an even crazier person who does the same exact thing, except instead of locking people in here, he's testing on old Sword Art Online players and working his system so that he will be able to control people's memories and all these things. And I'm just like, why is so much crazy? It just jumps from one crazy to more crazy, even crazier. So yeah, that was kind of annoying, and the pacing was, like I said, terrible. I also did not really like the whole incestual relationship between Kirito and his sister. No, his cousin. His cousin. His sister, Sugu, because in large part, I mean, such incestual-esque relationships are not super uncommon, and it's more of a, like, super, it's not always, like, it comes across as incestual to us, but in many cases, it's just, like, this very strong love for your fellow family member, but in this case, it wasn't that way. And that's what bothered me. And in part, what bothered me, and I don't know how this is over in Japan and whatnot, but the fact that she thought it was a problem until she found out that they were just cousins, and then it wasn't a problem. Even though, well, you're still blood related, okay? A cousin is not that far removed from brother, sister. So the fact that she, apparently once she learned that, everything was fine to her, and she was like justifying her love for Carito, that was, no, I was not feeling that. And I also thought the fact that in the, what was it called, the Alf world, the second game they were playing, that she did not realize the other character was her brother for so long. She's incredibly stupid to not realize that. I could not, when I first realized that she didn't realize it, I was like, what, why does she not know? And I was just waiting for her to figure it out, and it took her way too long to figure it out. And she didn't figure it out. She only realized it because he said what his goal was, and that was rescuing, finding Asuna. And the fact that she didn't know, didn't even seem to have the slightest clue that that was her brother. No, get out of my face. You're an idiot. She was annoying too. I did not really like her as a character. I just found her annoying for most of the time. And another thing I didn't particularly like too much was the fact that Asuna becomes this damsel in distress in the last half or so of the show. She does try to escape, but for the most part, she's just kind of stuck in this cage and doesn't do much. And I guess you can say that, what could she have done? I don't know. It may have been more of a problem with the actual story and the way it was written and the way they put her in this situation where she couldn't really do anything, feeling the need to turn her into a damsel in distress and having Kirito come and save her. And like, the real huge problem with the season and the series as I know it, because I haven't watched the second season, which I hear goes in weird places, at least in the first half of that season, is just the pacing. The pacing is such a problem because it takes them so long to not even complete the dungeon, to get to like level 70 or like 69 of the castle of that dungeon. And then he has his, Kirito has his battle with Akihiko. And that took like 2 years. But he gets in this game and it takes him about a week to break through this designed to be impossible to enter area. And yeah, he gets help from various characters, including Akihiko, because it's based off of like the Sword Art Online structure or whatever. But the fact that he basically clears that game in a week's time, and he didn't technically get to clear the other one in like 2 years' time, that just seems crazy. And he wasn't even stuck in that world. There's just balancing issues that really bothered me. And when I started to think about the characters in comparison to Log Horizon and some of the art, like, while it's technically much better than Log Horizon, especially animation-wise, the character design and all that, it's not that interesting, because I sat back and I thought about it. I'm like, wait, Sword Art Online, well, one, for that part of the story, it's all about melee weapons. There's no magic, so that makes things a little less interesting. Two, I'm pretty sure the only race they had were humans, so you couldn't really have anything different than that, whereas in Log Horizon you have your cat people and your other people and various types of different classes and abilities and all that jazz. So that makes the Log Horizon world a bit more interesting. And I don't know. The more I watched it, the more I just kind of was waiting for it to end, because I will say, like I mentioned earlier, right at the beginning, I believe, it really does pull off the series storyline fairly well. It does a good job with that. And that was nice, because if it was more jokey, I probably would have been way less interested in it. And my issues with it may have been enough to make me stop watching it. But the fact that it was a more dramatic take on it all, I dug that. But it's very weird, especially just looking at the first season, comparing that to Log Horizon and how different their pace and how Sword Art Online just seems to be rushing through. Even so, the funny thing is that with the pacing in both parts of Sword Art Online, while so much time is passed, like it takes a long time in that first half, it flies by because they do it all in 12 episodes or whatever. And then the second part, it slows down, but in the in-game, in the in-anime world, it flies by because it all happens in like a week. So while everything's moving so fast, either in our time or in the world's time, the anime's time, in Sword Art Online, Log Horizon, it seems like the people are more accepting of their fate, in part because, as far as they know, they've just been transported there, and it's not so much that they're still connected to the real world, so there's that big difference. I don't know. I think I'd have to put Log Horizon above Sword Art Online, because while I have some issues with Log Horizon, I think overall it's a much more well-balanced show, and I just kind of enjoyed more of the characters more often. I think it did a better job with the characters, and it is interesting to have your lead character in Log Horizon be someone who's not out on the front line, someone who's not your like super, you know, oh, look at him, he's the hero of whatever. He's the one who's always in the front doing everything. He's the guy in the background who's, you know, setting everything up and doing everything without everyone, not the entire world and whatnot, knowing who he is. That's Sword Art Online, the first season. I'll probably get to the second season at some point, but I'm in no rush to go and watch it. Yep. If y'all are huge fans or not, I'd love to hear what y'all think of Sword Art Online, the first season. And if you feel so inclined, let me know where you fall on the whole Log Horizon versus Sword Art Online little whatever fight. Yep.
Inside Ninja! Shing.
So I finally started watching Toradora, and unsurprisingly, I really, really like it. I'm 5 episodes in, and I'm really just having a blast with the series. I like all the characters. I can't think of any I particularly don't like. I mean, the new model who just joined, I can't remember what her name is, but she is, you know, annoying in her ways, but not annoying in a bad way, if that makes sense. She's annoying in that her character is somebody you're not supposed to like, but not annoying in that I can't stand seeing her on screen. It's just, she's just somebody to root against. It's like you see her and you see her true self and you're just like, yeah, you're going down. I hope you go down. Not in that way, okay? But you know, to lose. Not down, but down. It sounded, the down I said was, let's move on, okay? So, Toradora, if y'all haven't watched it, if you're unaware, it's about these two characters who, I don't even know why they really interact with each other. I guess it just happens because of her accidental placing of a love letter that isn't even inside the envelope, so it's just a love letterless envelope. What's her name? Taiga, into this other guy. Taiga's a girl. Why am I? I'm so out of it. But Taiga accidentally puts a love letter, well, what she thinks is a love letter, inside the backpack of Ryu, and it's empty. But during the whole process, Taiga just loses her mind because she's this really cute, tiny little girl who's very ferocious. She has a ferocious personality. She's violent, wants to, like, kill Ryu for the fact that she accidentally put the love letter in there. She feels like that's going to ruin her life, the fact that he now knows, but he doesn't actually know anything, except she confesses before he's able to tell her that it was empty and all that jazz. But she has a huge crush on Ryu's best friend. And it just so happens that Ryu has a huge crush on Taiga's best friend. So they agree to help each other out in terms of in getting each other with their crushes. And hilarity ensues. One, people keep thinking because they spend so much time together that Ryu and Taiga are a thing, an item, and it's hinted at that during this whole series that they're eventually going to realize or fall for each other while trying to help each other help each other get with their crushes. Though I could also see that not happening, so I'm purposefully trying to keep myself from being spoiled on the exact ending because I could see it going either way, and I would kind of like it if it didn't go the typical, oh, these two people who have nothing, they like don't have anything to do with one another. They don't want to do anything with one another. I can't talk. That they end up falling for each other in the end. I would like it if that wasn't how it ended up, just because that would be different. But if that does happen, I would be okay with that too. As of right now, I'm just enjoying it. I'm looking forward to watching more. It should be interesting too, since it is a 25 episode series, so there's a lot of material still to be shoved in my face. But I'm liking it. I like all the characters. They're really crazily over the top and whatnot. But yeah, it's off to a good start, and I've heard nothing but great things, and I think it's a fairly highly rated and often praised show. So, and it, as of right now, I understand why. It's also really, it's not super distinct or anything, but it is quite pretty to look at. So I like that about it as well. And there are some weird things about it too. It's just fun to see this various ridiculous relationships, like the fact that Ryu's mother works as a hostess, but she is basically the child of the relationship. Ryu's super, super just dependable for his friends, and also just is like the mature one. He's the one who's cooking, he's the one who's cleaning, and he has like this obsession with cleaning, apparently, especially mold. He goes after mold. He gets super excited when he gets to clean the bathroom at school, and the other person who's supposed to clean it with him is like, oh, let's just go home for now. And it's like, no, you can go home, I'll get this. I have a death sentence for this mold, and I'm gonna get it. So yeah, he's got issues in that way, that he's obsessively into killing mold. I don't know what else to say. I'm losing my mind because I'm at a point where I'm like, especially after the last episode, I can't be bothered to do as much prep work for all the anime and everything I talk about as I did during that show and in previous shows, just because this is all free. Nobody's paying for any of this. And I can't spend so much time on something that not that many people listen to and nobody really cares about except for me. So yeah, Totodora, looking forward to watching more. And yeah, I'll be talking about it in the future. Certainly, probably have a review for it by next week. I should finish it most likely. That's Totodora. It's on Crunchyroll, and it's one of the few shows that has both a sub and dub. I'm, of course, watching it subtitled because that's just the way I roll. I was first concerned because it started default in the dub, and I was like, no, is this only in a dub? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've heard so many good things, but it's dubbed. And in the like 2 minutes I listened to it, it didn't sound like a terrible dub. So there's that, I guess. But I immediately went to subtitles, and it's great subtitle. So yeah, that's that. Also, I just think it's kind of funny that the girl Ryu likes, her name is Kushida, and that's my old nickname. Just the first four letters, Kush, Kush. So Kushida is awesome. Yep.
Insane Ninja Shing.
So instead of just recording everything separately, I'm just going to do it all in one bunch because I can't. It's so much anime, and also plenty of shows only deserve a minute, if even that, to be talked about. But anyway, let's get into what I've been watching, which is pretty much everything. I'm still behind on maybe a show or two, but Gangsta continues to be awesome. This past episode was great. There was a lot of fun in it. I love Nick so much. I think he's an awesome character. I want some figures of him, and I want him now. I just think he's this giant, adorable little teddy bear who happens to be really good at killing people and does it with a smile. And we got to learn, I don't think we knew this in the first episode, but tag-wise, he is an A0, which I assume is the top dog. And he was fighting a fellow tag who was a B2. And we're also introduced to this doctor character who I really enjoyed. I liked his nonchalant attitude towards everything. And the way he even got in the middle of the fight after Nick allowed his storefront to get damaged. And he was like, you better stop playing around with this guy because you're going to end up getting my store damaged. And I don't want that. Then I'm gonna be pissed off if that happens. And, well, of course, that does happen. And he tries to basically use his, like, tranquilizer toxin, his needle, to inject it into Nick. And Nick is not... I like that Nick is... I'm not sure if the doctor's just super strong, or in the moment he's super strong, or if Nick's just kind of being like, hey... I don't want to hurt you and shove you away, but just kind of relax. It's no big deal, okay? Let me get back to this, huh? All right. But yeah, it was just a great second episode, and I expected nothing less and got more greatness. And then also my favorite show of the new season continues to be Shimoseka, the Dirty Joke anime, which just does... It does that humor so well. It gets everything right. It is the exact opposite of Gangsta, which is this gritty, crime, violent, just action. More, not, I don't want to say serious, but just a much darker tone type of show. And then you have this very lighthearted, ridiculous, over-the-top, dirty joke-centered show, which is just great. And the way you can tell if I think something is really funny is if I let out one audible laugh. I don't make out a lot of laughing. I just go like, ha, and clap my hands. And I did that right in the beginning of the episode when she starts. I forget what exactly was going on, but she's basically, oh, you mean like this? And then she starts, like, not dry humping. She thrusts her pelvis into the table, the bottom of the table, a few times. And I was like, oh, my God, this show is great. It is so good. I just adore it. And then there's Charlotte, which continues to surprise me. It was nowhere near my radar, and now it's one of my favorite shows of the new season. It was just a lot of fun. I love the way these characters use their powers, and they're not particularly, you know, they have their downfalls. They're not perfect powers, but they even use him in ways that are even dumber. The guy who can teleport, he basically uses it to get some food from the lunch lady and pay and do it without it really being seen. But he's just a massive disaster. He gets the food and pays, but he ends up running like through a glass window and gets covered in glass. He's like, oh, I'm okay. I wear protective armor under my school uniform because then I won't get hurt as bad. But he's got a giant piece in his head and he's blushing. He's gushing blood from it, and the guy's just like, that's not okay. And then even with all that, the food was smashed and it was ruined. So I like the way it's just really kind of dumb, and yeah, it's fun. It's a fun show. It's a really fun show. And while the main character was really unlikable, he wasn't so much unlikable, he's just super cocky, and he still has some of that in this episode as well, and I think that'll probably remain. He's not an entirely unlikable character. He's actually quite likable, and especially in his attitude, and that it's kind of just there against his will, and I don't know, there's somewhat endearing about him. And then probably the other show that really is on my top list of the ones that I've seen the second episode of that also is a surprise is Ushio Totoro. I've accepted the visuals. I know that it was a stylistic choice from the very beginning, and I just wasn't a huge fan of it, but they've grown on me. And in part, I didn't hate them so much after the first episode. I still think, Tora, his look can be really, really off-putting at times just because of how disproportionate his body is. We'll have like tiny, tiny feet and just giant thighs, and just at times he really looks weird, and it's off-putting and a bit jarring, but everything else about the series is just great. Their banter, Ushio and Tora, their banter, their interactions are just so wonderful. It's like a buddy cop show, except for instead of two cops, you have this high school student, I think high school or maybe middle school, and this demon tiger thing who just bicker like an old married couple, and I love it. It's great. It's going to be a lot of fun because I think it takes a lot of what you expect in that type of genre and just plays with it and has fun with it. And I'm looking forward to watching more. Aharu X Kikanju was pretty good. That's the paintball. I think it's all going to be paintball. There might be different types of games, but as of right now, it's the paintball show. And that was good. Solid episode. It could have been bad if the manga artist didn't accept her in the episode. If that was like a long, drawn-out arc where he was just kind of being a dick the whole time. But the fact that he quickly changes, definitely helped this the episode and the show, I think, because that would have just been annoying. But it was fun, and his whole perviness and all that. But yeah, I think it was more so an episode to introduce that character and just get all that out of the way, so that he initially is completely against her, and then he accepts her, and there you go. Now you have your team of three. I'm not sure if there are going to be any other characters added in that. I watched Chaos Dragon, the second episode. Now I kind of hate that show. I think it's just incredibly stupid because it basically is what it seems to be is, okay, here's the whole premise of the show. Bad things are going to happen. This young king is going to have to call on the dragon to help him. And every time he does, somebody he cares about is going to get killed by someone else, or he's going to have to kill them. There you go. He's just going to be killing or seeing his friends and loved ones killed so that he can save others, and it's just going to be the sacrificial show. Whatever. Don't like it. I watched that other, some shorts. Akusama ga Seta Kacho, which is that uncensored one on Crunchyroll. That is about, what is it, my wife, the student council president, or whatever. That show's just dumb. I mean, it is what it is. So if you like that kind of stuff, then I guess it's for you. Okay. Wakaba Girl is just a super kawaii show for people who want to overdose on kawaii nonsense. She's just so stupid. I can't handle Wakaba and her stupidity. She is such an idiot. It's basically just seemingly going to be a short series about a rich girl who basically wants to be like the normal kids and is going to learn about them and maybe not be as stupid by the time the show's over. This episode was all about ice cream and, yeah, how stupid Wakaba is, or however you say your name. That Million Doll show, which is a 4-minute short, which is even shorter than the other shorts, is really not good because there's not much you can get done with 4 minutes, and with the 4 minutes they have, they didn't really do anything this last episode, and I just don't think it's a show that is going to work well in that format. I think something like She's Sweet Home, I think that's what it's called, that cat one, that makes more sense in a short format. But this whole thing about a person and their blog being able to help an idol reach super status is not gonna, I don't think it's gonna fly. Classroom Crisis is, oh god, is that boring garbage. It is the most boring show of the season. It is just, ugh. This episode was like half a documentary that takes place in the show, sort of. And it was just kind of, I felt like I was being talked at more often than not, and that's not anything I want out of an anime. I don't want to not like the show as much as I do, but I really don't like it. I watched the second episode of Gate, and that kind of left me disappointed because for the most part it really felt like it was taking itself too seriously, and that show doesn't do series well. The best part of it was when the main guy and another character were, I can't remember if they were like singing a anime song or something, but they were basically showing their otaku-ness, and he could hear it over the radio, so the other people were like, what the heck? This is the guy leading our company? He's singing this dumb song? That was a good moment in an otherwise too serious show. Two series episode at least. What else did I watch? Roko no Yusha, the six flower show. That episode, the second episode, kind of left me feeling rather meh. I was really pumped for the series before it started. I enjoyed the first episode. There are parts of the second episode I really liked, but it started off really slowly, and it picked up, but the action and all that in the second half wasn't much to my liking. It didn't do much for me, and I just kind of, it didn't capture me. The characters didn't do much for me. The introduction of the new characters didn't do much for me, and they kind of just dump on the rest of the Six Flowers sort of in the very last few minutes of the episode. That was kind of annoying. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even know why it didn't work for me so much, but it did not get me. And that was a bit disappointing. And the last episode, I think, of that I caught up on was, that I caught up on officially. Yes, it would be, Jitsu wa Watashi wa, the Actually I Am. And that show is super kawaii and I really like it. I'm surprised. I forgot how much when I was talking about the shows I like, that's another show that is surprising me with how much I like it. And it's just this, you know, super kawaii, super cute and adorable. I like the fact that we find out the other girl that the main guy confesses love to the year before, she's actually an alien and she's a little version of herself inside a big robot version of her identity, her physical form. So that was a great reveal. And I mean, it made sense because she has a screw coming out of her head and it's just kind of like, you have a screw in your head. Do people not realize you have a screw in your head? You're clearly, there's something up with you. But yeah, it's just a really cute show. Very colorful and cute. And I think it's just fun and a better show if you're looking for something cute than something that is just so stereotypical, like that Wakaba girl. Though it's, I mean, Actually I Am is actually a full length show. So there's that to deal with. Da-da-da! I watched Prison School and I almost forgot about this until I was looking at a list of all the shows out. I did not like it. Not really at all. I did not care for any of the male characters except for the main guy. He's fine. The other ones were all just super annoying. The art is ugly. I always thought the art was ugly when I saw the trailers and people were hyping it up. I was just like, okay, whatever. People must know something. I don't know. But after watching the first episode, I didn't care for it. It's just ridiculous and stupid and not funny. I don't like how masochistic these guys are and they just want to get beaten by the women, the one guard, and they're just pervy. And I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of it because it's not doing, it just isn't doing anything that is super special or unique. And it's not pretty to look at. The character designs are so over the top and not in a good way. It's not, it's just boring and there's a lack of color and there's just a lack of anything interesting. What's there is not that good. It's at least from just the first episode, I'm not feeling it. Maybe after this first episode, after they've been sent to the prison part of the school, maybe it'll start getting good after that. There were some okay moments, but and mostly they were just with the main guy when he's trying to be normal-ish and accidentally ends up in pervy moments. But other than that, I just was like, I don't get it. I don't understand what people were all so hyped about. And I think that's pretty much it. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, that definitely. Oh, no. I also finally watched the Himoto Umaru-chan, which is, that's another kind of, it's kind of kawaii, but maybe she's not the most cute and adorable. She's kind of, I don't want to say creepy. She's like, maybe like kawaii creepy, kawaii-py. But it's this show about brother and sister, and the sister, when she's out in public, is just like, everyone is like, oh my god, she's so pretty, she's so cute, she's so beautiful, she's amazing. But when she gets home, she turns into this like midget, really crude drawing of a girl of herself, and she throws on this like hamster hoodie and just is all about, she's like a super otaku and just wants to play games and watch her anime and eat junk food and pop. And it's so ridiculous in how, you know, she's this very, like, as perfect as you can get outside of the home when everyone else sees her. But when she gets home, she just treats her brother like crap and is just this ridiculous, over-the-top otaku who is just... The fact that she transforms into this really crude, tiny little girl. It's just great. It's great. It's really silly, and yeah, I like it. I like it so far after the first episode. But that's it. That is it, and that is all. I don't even know how many shows I talked about, but there were a bunch. And yeah, there's ones you should watch, ones you should avoid, and ones that are just, huh? Yep.
Inside Ninja! Shing!
I haven't talked about what I've been playing in quite some time, so I figured, why not go through just a whole bunch of them in a very, very short amount of time? Because that's how much time I give all these games, just a little bit of time, and then I move on to the other one for whatever reason. But yeah, and also I want to say hello to Lunchbox, because this is a part of the podcast that he would actually be excited to listen to. Yay! So I picked up Dark Souls 2 finally for Xbox One, and I played a decent amount of it, and then other games came out, but it's Dark Souls. I think it looks quite nice compared to it on Xbox 360. Runs well, and I haven't experienced too much in terms of, at least since I haven't played it on 360 in a while, my memory isn't that great. So things being out of place, or the placement of enemies and whatnot changing, hasn't really come into play for me, at least. So there's that, but it's Dark Souls 2, and I like Dark Souls 2, and I will eventually get back to it, because I like Dark Souls 2. Hopefully I get around to it before Dark Souls 3 comes out, in which case I'll be playing Dark Souls 3 and not Dark Souls 2. I played some Farming Simulator 15, which, like previous Farming Simulator games, is a farming simulator, and it is very much a simulation. But I have fun just messing around with the system and just being a horrible person, because there are no consequences in the world of Farming Simulator. So one of the first things I did was I bought a chainsaw, which was about $1,000. Not much, because I took out a huge loan. I don't remember how much, but I took out a huge loan. And I did the whole exploit where you just keep buying the wind-powered things until you can eventually... Or no, I think it's solar power, then the wind turbine thing. But anyway, one of the first things I did was buy a chainsaw, and then I just went into town and other people's houses and started chopping down trees by them. I didn't harvest them, I didn't collect the wood or anything. I just chopped down trees and let them fall halfway down around people's houses, on people's houses, around streets. I didn't care. I just went around chopping everything. And I like the fact that you can do that. It's not really great for the environment, and it's not really a nice thing to do, but nobody was stopping me, and it didn't cost me anything. The only thing it cost me was time. The time it took to chop down trees with my chainsaw that I could just pull out of my back pocket anytime I want, and never runs out of gas. Yeah, the one thing I will say, though, it's not for anyone who's not someone interested in farming, because you're not able to do so many crazy, weird, sandboxy things like that. So don't go into it expecting that you'll be able to do a whole bunch of things like bulldoze houses and stuff like that. That's not going to happen. But you can chop down as many trees as you want. Yeah. I finally got around to playing State of Decay for Xbox One, the Year One edition, and it looks nicer, most definitely. I never actually got around, I don't even know if I own the DLC, the Breakdown and I think Lifeline DLC on 360, but I know the Breakdown one is where I think it's just sort of like in open mode, it takes out the story bits and just lets you go through all that, and then you finish it, and then you can unlock harder difficulties. That's the only mode I've really been playing. I started Lifeline. I was like, oh, I forgot. This is a whole nother like story thing. I just wanted to do the endless mode. And I was playing quite a bit of Breakdown. And then I just kind of got to a point where I'm like, well, I kind of feel like I'm doing nothing right now. I want to progress through this and finish it and then start again on a hard difficulty, because I was just kind of meandering about and I felt like I was not accomplishing anything. And I was also confused as to what the point was. I didn't feel like I was getting a higher score or doing anything like that. But I haven't finished it yet. I got to the point where I've loaded up the RV and I said I'm ready to go. And now I quit basically, I think, because I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to already have a house set up for the RV, because I set it all up and I said, yeah, I'm ready to go. And then nothing happened. And I was like, okay, do I already need a house? Because I remember, and maybe I'm remembering incorrectly, that in the main game, you just picked a new house and did the whole, okay, let's set this up as a new house, that there wasn't a, well, first you have to get an RV to send the people to that new house. So I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. Played some Saints Row 4 and kind of remembered that I don't really like Saints Row 4 that much. But I didn't get to the part yet where it opens up to be the superhero thing where I could just at least have fun collecting crap. Played Dead or Alive 5 last round and realized, I don't know, maybe just remember that of all the fighters, I think Dead or Alive may be the series I hate the most. Hate's a strong word. I just don't particularly like it as a fighter. Of all the fighters, I'm trying to think. Like, I prefer Tekken. Prefer Virtua Fighter. Virtua Fighter is probably my favorite of the 3D fighters. Prefer Mortal Kombat. I prefer Killer Instinct in the time I've put into it. Definitely prefer Street Fighter. So, yeah, Dead or Alive is, I don't know. I think it's kind of a dead fighter. I played some Goat Simulator for the first time, actually. And that was ridiculous. That's definitely just sort of a, it's kind of has a bit of, no, it, I was going to say it has a bit of a Katamari Damacy vibe to it, but at the same time, it just has this, after like 5 minutes or whatever, I'm like, I don't understand why I should even be caring about this at all in any way. I got my fix from it. Played that Blue Estate game, which is, I think you can play with Kinect. No, I'm pretty sure you can play with Kinect. But I used the controller, and it's what the hell is called, like the light gun shooter type of games. It's really bad. It's really bad in that it's not fun gameplay wise, but the jokes are so horrible. It's like Duke Nukem Forever and all those types of like, oh, we're going to try and be, it's not good. It's not good. It's not funny. It's sometimes, or maybe even more than only sometimes, offensive in its humor because it's not clever or thoughtful in any way, and not thoughtful in like, aw, but there's not much thought put into it. It's just cheap, crappy jokes. I went back to playing The Amazing Spider-Man 2 because I had a desire to play a game where I just go around collecting crap. And I forgot I didn't get far enough for collectibles to be unlocked. So I played a few hours of it, even though it is so ugly. Oh my god. I'm pretty sure they just ported the 360 version. I don't think they actually upgraded the visuals at all, because it looks terrible. I played some, Tiger Woods PGA, but no, it's Rory McIlroy PGA, Tour 16? I don't even think there's a number on it, but it would be 16, I think. Did the whole EA Access thing to test it out. and I'm not feeling it. I couldn't find in the options a way to turn off all the assists that basically tell you exactly where the ball's going to go when you hit it. I mean, exactly. And it's annoying. It just makes it way too easy. And it is pretty, but the character models aren't. They're still weird. And what sucks the most is that the character creation is pathetic. It is embarrassing. It barely even deserves to be called the character creation, because it's really just sort of, you have maybe, I don't know, a dozen, if even that, templates, and that sucks, because I really want to create my own character and put them in the game, but I can't. I can't have anyone who looks anywhere near like me. There aren't beards. There's no facial hair option at all. The only way I can get facial hair on my guy is if I give him really, really dark skin. Because apparently the darker your skin, the more facial hair you have. It's stupid. And yeah, everyone kind of looks chunky-ish in the face, it sort of seemed, at least. I don't know. Today would be my last day to pre-order the game, because the only reason to do that would be to get that, I think, TPC Sawgrass Hill, there's some hole you get for pre-ordering, but I don't think I'm going to do it, because I'm not feeling it. It's too easy. It sucks. It really sucks, because the golf club is too hard, and Rory McIlroy PGA Tour is too easy, and I just want a middle ground. I don't know why the golf club doesn't have any kind of like casual mode or some type of thing that adds assists, because they say that there are ways you can set up the options to make it easier, but there aren't. And in all the times I've looked, no, there aren't. And that really does suck, because there's potential in that game, even though it's fairly, I mean, there's a lot that could use some polish. And I like the fact that they're going for a more difficult, challenging, realistic take on the game, but having an option that would allow casual people to play if they just want to mess around, that would be nice. So yeah, disappointed with McIlroy, and I mean, golf club's old. I always go back to it and try it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember why I stopped playing this. Played some Trivial Pursuit live, and I played like 4 games, and it was already seeing repeat questions, so that was crap. And then I guess the main one I've been playing as of late is The Elder Scrolls Online, which I finally got to work, and I'm digging it. I'm kind of stuck in this. I'm not really progressing much, because I'm just like, oh, I'm going to steal things and then I'm going to sell them. Stealing seems really, really easy. It seems really easy to remain hidden, which is weird. But I like it. I forgot when I first loaded it up that, you know, it is an Elder Scrolls game, and you can play it, you know, it's an MMO, but you can play it in first person. And I was kind of, I thought my game was frozen when I first loaded it up, because I didn't see my character, and I was like, what the hell is going on? Is it still not working for me? Am I screwed? This sucks. And then I moved the controller, and I was like, aha, yeah, you can play this in first person. And I like that. I know a lot of people say you have to play it in third person because it gives you a better field of view during battles or whatever or whatnot, but I don't care. I way prefer it in first person because it's, one, a different type of perspective for an MMO, and it's still a better perspective for Elder Scrolls. The third person is definitely, maybe, good movie, really, really good movie, but the third person is the best the series has seen, and it is a very capable perspective, but I still prefer first person, and yeah, I like it. I need to play a lot more of it, because I haven't even left the first area that I started in. I'm a Breton, and I haven't even left. I don't know if everyone starts in the same area, probably, but I haven't left there. I've just been doing a few missions and just dicking around or whatever, so I need to explore more to see if the world's changing, if there's a nice variety. Because what I've still been, I haven't ever been, my Morrowind itch hasn't been scratched. Skyrim was really, really good. And it was a huge step in the right direction, while Oblivion was like this, ugh, I did not like Oblivion. But Skyrim was great. And I really still wish they'd just port Skyrim to the Xbox One, or that it becomes one of the first backwards compatible games, even though I can just go on my 360. I like this Xbox One controller. And I realized after using it for so long that the 360 controller is significantly, well, not, maybe not significantly, but it is quite smaller and lighter, and I like the bigger and heavier side of the Xbox One controller. I just do. But that's what I've been playing. So a lot of things, dabbling in a lot. I'll probably be focusing a lot of my time on the Elder Scrolls Online. I'm waiting for the last patch that's supposedly coming for The Witcher 3 to get back to that. That I think is going to be the last one that's affecting movement and whatnot. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. I'll be getting around to some other stuff fairly soon. But yeah, there's my 15 or so minutes of really quick random gaming notes. Are you happy, Lunchbox? Did that fill up your tummy during lunchtime? Okay, good. I'm happy. But yeah, that is what I've been playing. What about you? What have you been playing? Jesus Christ. Oh, God. As you can tell, I haven't talked about games in a while, and I'm like, what is going on?
Insane Ninja! Shing!
And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PX Sausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. The show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, YouTube, wherever you feel like listening to it. And if you haven't already, it actually would be greatly appreciated if you subscribed, rated, and reviewed the show on iTunes, because that really does help out more than you might think. And if you are into video games, I do record a podcast every other week called Pixelated Radio with a group of fine fellas. And yeah, that's all about the video games and definitely worth checking out. And one of my fellow co-hosts from that show does a show about racing. So if you're into cars that go really fast, you should check out Sports Car Unleash at scunleashed.com. That is, of course, on iTunes, as are all the shows mentioned. And, yeah, if you have any questions, comments, rants, I don't know what, you can leave a comment on the post. You can tweet at me, going tweet, 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 tweet. Or you could email the show directly at psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Or, yeah. Do whatever you want. I don't know. Find out where I live through the internet and throw a brick through my window. Please don't do that. But if you have any questions, etc., I'd love to hear them. And so I bid y'all farewell for now and hope y'all have a lovely rest of the day. And I look forward to letting you hear me talk in the future. And I hope y'all look forward to that too. So cheers, and let loveliness find its way into your day.
Lid et meget fra frakaste, kunne du ikke glemme det, jeg gav det, hvis du gav det, kunne du, du må tage alt, hvad der så ikke kunne du, finder du ikke, før nogen er færdig. Farðu, þetta maðurinn mín, elska mín, maðurinn mín. Let it kiss you bad mér. Kere kutu Nunas yavde thvisem yemun Kere kutu Hjartan skarte Ja aldre kutu En du ekki Hjortu farðu 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 Þetta maður mín Elska mín Maður mín Let that kiss you by, let that kiss you by me.